KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego Art Power, presenting two-time Grammy Award-winning Lucy Calantari and the Jazz Cats, featuring a spooktacular morning of music and family fun, Saturday, October 19th at the Epstein Family Amphitheater. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Emmeline Mohebi, in for Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, October 18th. Ped West continues to be partially open. More on the impact next, but first, let's do the headlines. Federal and county public health workers are surveying residents in the Tijuana River Valley area. They're asking about experiences with cross-border sewage contamination. It comes after the county requested help from the CDC in May. Dr. Ankita Kadakia is the county's interim public health officer.
And what we're really looking to collect is household information. So all the people that live in a household that are experiencing symptoms, whether that's affecting their physical health, their mental health, their livelihood, their pet's health.
Staff say they plan to interview more than 200 households through tomorrow. The CDC says it will share its findings early next year. A new animal shelter is being built in the county. Officials broke ground on the new 23,000 square foot facility in Santee earlier this week. Animals will be cared for there as they wait for a new home. The shelter will also have an on-site small animal hospital and will be a fire evacuation site with animal intake and care during local disasters. It's expected to be complete in early 2026. The fall weather is not sticking around. Today will be cool, but warmer temperatures are in store for us again starting tomorrow. In the inland and coastal areas today, temps will be in the high 60s. In the mountains, it'll be in the high 50s. And in the deserts, it's expected to be in the mid 70s. But over the weekend, temps will rise up to the 80s in most areas. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Felt, Curator of Photography at the San Diego Museum of Art. We're pleased to welcome to San Diego Pre-Picte Human, the latest exhibition from the world's leading award for photography and sustainability. The Museum of Photographic Arts at the San Diego Museum of Art is the only U.S. venue on the international tour of Pre-Picte Human. See work by 12 shortlisted photographers, including the award winner Indian photographer Gauri Gill, in the celebrated exhibition Exploring Human Experiences. Pre-Picte Human is on view now through December 15, 2024 at MOPA at SDMA in Balboa Park. Learn more at mopa.org.
One reason for long border wait times at the San Ysidro border crossing is one of the pedestrian crossings has not been fully operational since before the pandemic. Border reporter Gustavo Solis asked border officials why the Ped West crossing remains only half open.
The Ped West crossing opened in 2016. Customs and border officials hailed the crossing as a true game changer. It would be open 24/7, reduce border wait times, and boost the local economy. But it's now been more than 4 years since Ped West has been fully operational. Currently, it's partially open. Kenya Samaripa is with the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce. She says that this chronic closure is already hurting our binational economy.
It doesn't matter whether you cross the border or not. This border wait times and the economic impact is getting to you. It impacts San Diego as a region and the community as a whole.
In recent years, CBP officials have said that a surge in illegal immigration drained resources that could have been used to staff Ped West. But those crossings have dropped dramatically in recent months. On Thursday, Acting Commissioner Troy A. Miller told reporters he's asked Congress for additional funding.
We continue to ask for additional resources for San Ysidro specifically along the southwest border in general.
When asked if and when San Diegans should expect Ped West to be fully reopened, Miller didn't have an answer. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
Congress authorized the creation of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in 1967. Public Matters investigative reporter Amitha Sharma reports it's a target of Project 2025, the Heritage Foundation's playbook for the next conservative president.
Every Republican president since Richard Nixon has tried to end taxpayer funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but Project 2025 states the next conservative president must make it happen. Why? The document says public media became a liberal forum for public affairs and journalism. Dean Nelson, director of the journalism program at Point Loma Nazarene University, says it was left-leaning in the 1960s and 70s.
When 9/11 occurred, public broadcasting changed. People went to public television, public radio to try to get an unvarnished take on what was going on.
Tim Franklin, a dean at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism, says the reality is that Republicans consume public media as much as Democrats. He believes public broadcasting will remain even if former President Trump wins.
It's really just a political talking point.
The Heritage Foundation declined an interview. Trump has distanced himself from Project 2025. However, 140 members of his administration helped write the plan. Amitha Sharma, KPBS News.
It's less than 3 weeks until Election Day, and there's an important question on every voter's ballot in the county, Measure G. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says it would kickstart the largest investment in public transit in San Diego history.
If it's approved, Measure G would raise the county's sales tax rate by a half a percentage point. That would mean a $100 restaurant bill would come with an additional 50 cents in sales tax. Groceries and prescription drugs are exempt from sales tax in California. The measure is expected to raise $350 million each year. Half of that revenue would be spent on public transit infrastructure, including a rail connection to the airport, a new rail line from San Ysidro to Kearny Mesa, and moving the train tracks to Los Angeles off the collapsing bluffs in Del Mar. Just over a third of the revenue would go toward upgrading highways, roads, and local streets. Supporters of Measure G say San Diego County needs to invest in transportation infrastructure to avoid LA-style smog and gridlock. Opponents say the government can't be trusted to spend the money wisely, and they argue the measure gives too much funding to public transit and not enough to freeways. Measure G needs approval from a simple majority of county voters to pass. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Voters in Claremont, Kearny Mesa, Mira Mesa, and Scripps Ranch will decide who represents them on the San Diego Unified School Board next month. Reporter Katie Anastas says the Subdistrict A candidates are the same as 4 years ago.
Sabrina Bazo and Crystal Troll both ran for the seat in 2020. Bazo won that election and is now running for a second term. Bazo says she's proud of how district leaders safely brought students back in person after COVID sent them home. She says making schools feel welcoming for all students and families is key to addressing chronic absenteeism.
If our families, particularly those of the students that are hard to reach, feel more welcome, feel like they're part of school, feel like they can come into the classroom and help and really be a part of that community, we're finding that that is really impactful.
Bazo's endorsers include the Teachers Union and the San Diego County Democratic Party. Nonprofit consultant Crystal Troll is also running for the seat. She says she'd bring a different perspective to the school board.
Right now, of the board members, two of them have younger kids in the district. I have high school kids, and I have a middle schooler, and I've run the gamut of the experience of kids who actually are in schools right now.
Troll says she wants to make sure grading policies are implemented consistently across the district. Troll is endorsed by the Republican Party of San Diego County and Reform California. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
With insurance companies dropping customers and pulling out of California, some homeowners are now going for an out-of-state solution. But as reporter Tanya Thorne explains, that coverage comes with a risk.
When Pete Alexakis moved to Fallbrook 11 years ago, there was a hook that got him. There was an advertisement about Fallbrook being one of the last areas where you could buy a little bit of land and be close to the ocean.
His home is surrounded by green rolling hills and trees. To him and his family, beautiful views. But for insurance companies, extreme fire hazard.
11 years ago, we had choices. So we were able to get from one of the Berkshire Hathaway companies a preferred homeowner's policy with, you know, full coverage and good rates.
But in December, he got a non-renewal notice from his insurer. The company said it was because of the fire danger. He was forced to join California's FAIR plan for basic fire coverage only. For coverage in other areas, he got an additional policy from a separate company.
And the impact was profound. We couldn't, if we were going to try and compare apples for apples with coverages that we had before, it would have been probably an 80% increase in cost. So what we did was we offset some of that expense by going, you know, tremendously higher with deductibles and foregoing some other coverages just to make it affordable, frankly.
He's not alone. Insurers like State Farm and Allstate have been offloading their California clients. And while officials in Sacramento tried to reach a compromise with the insurance agencies, homeowners are left with limited options.
Well, it just depends on every, you know, individual client and their family and their financial needs. So that really varies. But the higher of a deductible you have, the lower your premium is going to be.
Ashley Beyer-Wallisek is an insurance broker in Fallbrook. For fire coverage, she says most homeowners are going with the California FAIR plan and then filling in coverage gaps with other policies for things like water, theft, or liability. There's another option, known as non-admitted policies. These come from out-of-state companies that aren't licensed to do business in California.
And what that means is that they are not held to the same regulatory financial stability laws that we have here. But they're also able to kind of insure riskier ventures, or whether it be a fire area, or if it was a commercial policy.
She says non-admitted carriers can be a good option for homeowners in fire risk areas, but there could be another risk.
If the company becomes insolvent or goes bankrupt and they are not able to pay out the claims that you're paying the coverage for, you are not able to, as a California resident, to go to the state to either appeal or kind of fight back to help get any help from the state.
But she says many non-admitted carriers have good financial stability and insurance ratings. It all comes down to doing the research for the coverage and price a homeowner wants and can afford.
People who have fixed incomes, it's very difficult to then see their premium, you know, triple in a year. And their incomes aren't increasing.
Homeowners are having to make tough decisions. Some choose to go uninsured or underinsured, and others are choosing to sell their home and move out of California.
I can't believe that an insurance policy and not being able to afford it is dictating your moves in life.
Tanya Thorne, KPBS News.
The University Heights Fall Festival is tomorrow. It's a free event with activities for the whole family. Festival co-chair Sarah Pease tells us what we can expect.
It is all about fall. In fact, I would say it is your one-stop shop for all things fall without having to drive out of the city. We have a pumpkin patch for you to purchase your favorite pumpkin. We've got a hayride with horses. We've got face painting, all kinds of activities for kids. And we've got plenty of activities for adults as well. We've got for the first year, a beer garden featuring beer from University Heights' own Kairoa Brewing and wines supplied by University Heights' own Klo Wine Shop.
There will also be a stage with performers and a food zone curated by a local foodie Instagrammer. P says the proceeds from the event go to a local school.
The proceeds from the University Heights Fall Festival go directly towards Burney Elementary School. Burney Elementary is a Title I public school, which means that 40% or more of our kiddos come from low-income households. And what this does is it funds classes for all 530 plus kids at school, to have classes in gardening, Spanish, art, theater, and music, none of which is actually funded by the school district.
The festival will be held at Burney Field in University Heights. It starts at 10 a.m. and goes until 5 p.m. For more information, head to uhfallfestival.com. Well, that's it for the podcast today. This podcast is produced by me and edited by Brooke Ruth. We'd also like to thank KPBS web producer Brendan Tucciardi and news student assistant Alina Ajaz for helping the podcast team this week. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again on Monday to start the new week together with the day's top stories. I'm Emily Mohebi. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great Friday and a wonderful weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Project Blank, presenting the West Coast premiere of Reservoir 2, Intrusion, by American composer Sarah Hennies, featuring a constellation of voices, flute, and light. This installation performance takes place in the vaulted spaces at St. Paul's Cathedral. Tickets at projectblanksd.org.